And welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman in for Kathy Dawes here with Riley County Commissioner Marvin Rodriguez and Riley County Emergency Management Director and County Fire Chief Pat Collins. Any questions for these guys? Call in 785-537-1350 and speak with my Valentines for today. Sorry, Mom. This is the best I can do today. But no, it's great to have you guys. And we were talking about the public radio system, public safety radio system, in the first segment. And one of those infrastructure things that people don't really think about that have a big cost and that the county has to take care of one way or the other. Proposed the last 15 to 20 years, the one you guys are looking at. And we were talking over break, Pat, about some of the things you've done to fix the current system. Because I know a lot of things, when people hear about the county buying, any government entity buying something that's such a big ticket item, they always wonder, like, well, how are we taking care of the new one? And we were talking about how you guys have taken steps to take care of the one you have.
Well, you know, back in 2004, I went to the commission and talked about an 800 megahertz radio system. And at that time, the proposed cost was $1.5 million. And that seemed high at that time. So the commission said, hey, see what you can do. You know, spend the next few years trying to build up our system, trying to fix the problem. So what we did was several of the agencies added new radios and more of a up-to-date digital radio, because some of the radios were pretty ancient. We replaced repeaters. We replaced consoles. We replaced voter system, which is kind of a tied together repeater system, and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to update this to make it happen. And what we saw was our coverage kept decreasing because of the interference problems. And then when narrowbanding hit, and we did meet that narrowbanding mandate from the FCC, it cut our coverage like in at least a third and closer to a half in certain places.
And a big problem, I know in a few county commission meetings, you'll have some officers from the RCPD come in and talk about some of those situations where they're not able to communicate, especially in some buildings. And I imagine if you're in an emergency situation and you're a police officer, EMS, whoever, that could be kind of a scary thing. So definitely a big thing that you guys are looking at. And going back to the funding on that, Commissioner, you kind of talked about some of the options, but I know as far as for the county, kind of limited on how you can kind of gain revenue. I know property tax is probably the biggest thing. Are you guys able to possibly bond this? Is that an option?
Well, there are several options. You know, the first thing you look at is somebody else helping pay for this, like grants and stuff like this. But, you know, I think everybody in the nation that has a VHF system is trying to move away from that. So there's really no grants for the system. Now, there are some grants out there that we're looking at for some of the subscriber radios, the mobiles and the portables, and there may be some of that out there. So we're looking at those. But as far as the funding options, some of the things that we've looked at are of course property tax, sales tax, some fees, maybe even expanding the system and having some kind of a subscriber fee, and try to get some of the adjoining communities to join in with this. So maybe even some of the if the system's built right, you could almost get some of the state or federal government systems that are close or may be built in the future to join in and help fund that. So there's several of those options that are out there, but you got to have the system before you can lease part of it or rent part of it.
Very true. Commissioner, I know you're just a little over a month in, but as far as talking about the funding for that, there's no real extra money for that, right? I mean, you guys are going to have to look at some of those options.
That is correct. That is correct.
All right. And, you know, Pat, since we have you here, storm season is coming around the corner for some places in the country a little quicker than others. So I guess never too early to kind of talk about that preparation.
Well, I heard Dave talking about 60 and 70 degree weather, you know, later in the week. And although it brings nice weather, a lot of times it brings storms with us. So, yeah, we're looking at the storm season. Of course, we have our In March, we have our severe weather preparedness day, so we'll actually do a weather service presentation over to Four Points. We'll also set the sirens off and do our statewide tornado drill, which is, I think, going to be at 10:30 in the morning now. So, and I think that's during severe weather preparedness week. So we've got some of that coming up, but I think with the weather, the way it looks, the way it's warming up, we could stand a chance of seeing some early weather.
And typically, when do we expect that sort of weather here in this part of the state?
Well, normally it's the 1st of April through the end of May. But, of course, we could have it any time of the year. We had tornadoes, you know, last November in Kansas. So it could happen any time. I think there's been tornadoes there every month in a year.
And I know it's still just the middle of February, but anything people can do now to kind of start thinking about it, start preparing?
Well, some of the things that we key on is getting notified, and not just one form of notification. You want to have multiple venues of notification. Don't count on that siren sitting outside to always work. I mean, the power goes down, batteries go out. It's technology, and some of the sirens are fairly old technology. I wouldn't go away from them, but you also need. You know, we have the Everbridge system. Each one of the TV and radio stations have some kind of a link to different types of notification systems. There's all kinds of ways of being notified, and we want you to get notified of severe weather at the earliest point. So having different methods of notification is ideal.
Here with Commissioner Marvin Rodriguez and Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins. Again, any questions, 75-537-1350. And Pat, if anybody is interested in storm chasing or anything like that, don't you guys usually kind of have some seminars like that for anybody interested? Or am I mistaken?
We'll have people at the National Weather Service presentation. We'll have a booth there with our weather spotters, and they always recruit people from that group. So, yep. And if you just want to call the office, it's 785-537-6333, and give us a call, and we'll give you the information.
And when you guys are looking at people to do that, what are you looking for in somebody that's interested in storm chasing and stuff like that?
Well, most of those people are communicators. They already have some kind of a history of going out watching storms. We try to link them with one of our present weather spotters and have our present weather spotters mentor them for a while and get them in touch with the way we do business and ride along. So that's kind of what we look for first, and we get a feel for those people and see if they're going to be good weather spotters.
And what makes a good weather spot? I'm sure having a little bit of a thrill for excitement probably helps, but there's probably a lot more to it than that.
Well, there's two things. One is we want people to be knowledgeable, and two, we don't want people that want to see a tornado. We want people that want to provide good weather information, whether there's a tornado out there or no tornado, it's just a scud cloud. So, yeah, being able to determine when the right time is to notify people and warn people, yeah, that's a big part of it.
My sister, growing up, my sister was really interested. She had a phase. She had a storm spotting phase where she would really get into it, would want the decked out Humvee with the satellites on it and all that, and want to go out there. I always thought, I was like, Lacey, you're crazy. That's why do you want to get out there? That looks dangerous, but maybe she's braver than I. I don't know. Let's go ahead and go to another break. You are listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.